shore where the mountains meet the sea, in a clapboard shack by a broken down tree. There's a light in the window, two salty gals inside. I'm not sure if they're witches, but you know that's implied. Got the storytelling, ego swelling, pillow talking, moonlight walking sea hags.
Welcome to the Sea Hags Podcast. I'm Chris Jeppa.
I'm Katie Norgan, and our guest this week is a maven of modern theater. And a master of the ukulele, and a fabulous singer. It's Megan Phillips.
Hello.
A maven.
A magnet.
Good word.
What do you prefer? I like maven. It just seems to suit you.
Yeah. It's like a very close, but there's the internal rhyme feel to
it. Yes. Yeah. Acting.
And I love when other people call me, because it's like, you can't call yourself a maven.
No, you know? That would be like, very rude. That would be very, very
rude
indeed.
That's a dick move.
It's like giving yourself a nickname.
Yeah.
Thanks.
But a nickname T-Bone. Of T-Bone. Like, a nickname of that says that you're better than everybody else.
Yeah.
Like, the most condescending.
They call me Katie, the man, Nordgren. Nobody calls you that. I tried to make Big Red happen as a nickname for me when I had the red hair, and nobody would do it. I tried to pull it off at a wedding once, and the guy was like, "Oh, that's horrible. I will never call you that. Instead, I will call you Cool Bitch." So much better.
Cool Bitch is pretty great.
It's not bad. Sorry, but I was like, okay, you're not going to call me the thing I asked for because you think it's too mean, so you'll call me a bitch instead.
Yeah, that's the thing, right? Trying to choose your own nickname.
Like, God forbid a woman is big. Heaven forbid.
Heavens to Murgatroyd.
I can call you Big Red.
Yeah, it doesn't really fit anymore.
Big Blue. No, that's like Paul Bunyan's ox.
No, that is just my dad's nickname for his van.
I actually had a teddy bear called Big Blue. He was like life size for like many years.
What you just described was not life size. That is a very small bear.
Cub size.
Sure, cub size.
I suppose life size is a 5-year-old child.
Sure.
Like the same size as the age that I was
when I got
Big Blue.
I always wanted like a full body teddy bear thing like
It was amazing. My dad won him for me in Playland. Yeah.
You can actually win
a big Crayola pencil with that you could put money in. Yeah, I'm really sad. They got rid of Big Blue, like, maybe 5 years ago
and
didn't ask me, and I was gutted, like, devastated.
My parents sold my telescope in a garage sale without asking
me.
My telescope! I want to look at the plant.
Did it have property of Big Red written on the side, and they're like, who does this belong to?
I feel like it was probably had, like, my name written on it in, like, my dad's writing in Sharpie, like, K. Nordgren or something like that. Very official. It was like it was my first book or something. Anyway, it sucks when your parents get rid of your shit that you were never going to use again.
It does.
How dare you not ask me? I don't like this feeling of moving out of childhood. Anyway, we're fine. We're adult women.
I'm like, what's...
Are you an adult woman? Sure?
Sure.
Cool.
Sure.
Yeah.
I get periods. Does that count?
I don't think that's a requirement, but it's good that you do. That's probably a good health
biologically.
Sign. Yeah, if you're not getting them.
Yeah.
Uh-oh.
Yeah.
Yeah. If you have a uterus, anyway.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. How was your week, Chris?
My week was kind of a lot, but that's okay. Because it's just what it is.
Mm-hmm.
And the end of my week was very good. I got picked up by my wonderful love to go for like a dinner at the Nom, which I haven't been to the Nom in forever.
For a million years.
What did you eat?
I ate the same thing that I always get
which
is the chilaquiles enchilada thing.
Oh, I've never had that.
It's delicious. And it's just like a baked burrito bowl thing with cheese and goodness.
I like that they use some real cheese.
Yeah. It's not a vegan place. It's a vegetarian place. Yeah. But like, I haven't been there in forever, and so I was like, well, you know, buckle up for like a 6-hour wait in the line, and then it's going to take forever. We walked in, no line, were acknowledged immediately, sat, and got our food right away. I'm like, the Nom has changed so
much.
How
long has it been since you've been there?
10 years, maybe.
Okay, so I recently had some friends, because I grew up in Vancouver, right? Mm-hmm. Did you also grow up? Okay,
but
so I grew
I've
up here.
For about 15 years.
Okay, and I grew up really close to the Nom, and I don't know if you know, the Nom is owned by the original owners from 1968 that
Still?
Founded it.
Cool.
Yeah. And they have made it very clear that, like, they never want to sell, they never want to pass it on, that, like, when they retire or die, that the Nam is just going to end. That's how they want it. It's, like, their legacy for, like, 40, they started it in their 20s on the 4th Ave was Rainbow Road. Yeah. Which I think is both, like, devastatingly sad and heartbreakingly beautiful, like, all in one.
Mm-hmm. I like that, because it's, like, we don't want someone to take the Nam name and turn it into something stupid.
Don't put condos behind it. Yeah, but they, but I've also had a similar experience where I had friends visit me and I was like, you gotta go to the Nam, you know, it's like, the we'll be waiting forever, like, you gotta know your order right up front. It's part of the experience, like. Yeah, yeah, I remember once I had a bug in my food and they didn't even give me the food for free. They were just like, they didn't even offer to change it. Yeah, they didn't even offer, they were like,
it's organic.
I had to ask.
He was like, oh.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. They were like, oh, okay, we'll be with you in a sec. You know, I've always had to go up and pay. But I brought my friend, and I was like, you gotta know it. You know, like,
it's gonna suck. You're gonna love it.
When they serve the food, you know, you've got, if you've got to have your extra orders to go because they're never gonna come back. And it was, like, same experience. We showed up. They were, like, met us immediately. They were like, where would you like to sit? We were like, here? And they were like, yeah, we can put you here. Whereas usually they don't even give you a choice.
Yeah.
You know? And then when the server, not only did the server come take our order and write it down, she gave it to it correctly, and then 5 minutes later came back to ask how we enjoyed it. And we were like, hang on. Hang on.
What is this place?
We need,
I have no memory of this place.
Excuse me.
Hostile service has gone out of style in Vancouver. I think, didn't the elbow room close or something like that? Yeah.
What?
I heard the elbow room. Or the guy had like a stroke or something like that.
Been at the elbow room within the past like 3 months.
Okay, then it didn't close.
Okay.
There was something that happened with one of the owners. I think they got sick or something like that. But that's the one place in Vancouver.
But I did have good, like a sweet server at the elbow room. And I was like, I want my sassy.
What the hell?
Sassy man yelling at me.
What was the place that was so? Oh, the Foundation.
Oh yeah,
that was the other hostile vegetarian restaurant where I would go and be like, well, I love the OPPP and the nachos are all right, but God, I hate every person in this building. Like I just, like every time they look at me, I feel like a bullied 8-year-old.
Yeah.
It was just that withering.
That hipster. That like better than.
I fucked Father John Misty last night. I don't have to put up with this.
Didn't you find, though, I always was so hungry there because it took so long for the food to come at the Foundation.
I hated that place.
That was the
so
one.
Much.
Me too. Like, I, like, the other places I'll eat because they're, like, fun hostile, but.
Like. Yeah, that place is, like, it didn't really advertise that it was like that, and it was always like that. So you just had to know.
Yeah. And I don't do well when I'm hungry.
Oh, no. Me neither.
Yeah. My plan for whenever I would go to the Foundation would always do, like, get nachos because they come quickly.
Yeah.
And then, or thanks, Casey. Today is the day of our Lord, 6/9, so.
Oh my God, nice! I didn't even know!
It's the 9th of June.
Ah,
69, dudes. I'm an adult. Anyway.
But you get the nachos so that you could then eat them, and then you'd order your entrees and just get them to go. And then you'd have delicious food.
Smart.
Then you'd have an OPPP for lunch the next day.
I wish they'd have like a sign that's like a Foundation hack or something on the side.
Like Foundation secret menu. For respect, do this.
Yeah, one of those like
for
secret.
Respect, pretend to know like hardcore rap from New York.
It's like, you know, remember how when in The Sims, you guys ever play The Sims?
Oh, like, boy, you just howdy.
Just Rosebud. You just had to type in Rosebud and you'd get $1,000. Mm-hmm. Like that's the Foundation's version of Rosebud.
Oh, yeah. I always did the, what was the thing? Ka-ching. And ka-ching just got you, like, more and more. And then there was one for, like, you would get, like, almost 500,000 simoleons.
and then you would just put them in a pool and remove the...
You know what? They've changed it.
And you can't kill them easily anymore?
No, if you don't have a ladder, they just jump out the side like a normal person would. They don't get trapped in the pool to die anymore.
You can't kill your Sims anymore.
God damn it. Do you know there's a theory that, like an actual scientific theory that is based on The Sims?
That we're all living in a simulation?
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Yeah, and it's I read like part of it as research for my last year's show, and very heavily worded, but it's like a 30% chance. Like, that's significantly, that is double digits. That's a third of, that's your like chance. More than like The Secret in terms of scientific value of our
sure.
experience.
Yeah. Yeah.
That we are living in a video game simulation that somebody else is playing.
Mm-hmm. That's fine.
Yeah.
Whatever. I'm in the Matrix eating my Matrix steak. We're all good.
I watch, because you can make your Sims play The Sims.
What?
In The Sims.
No! And then I'm just like, ah. My brain can't handle it.
Sims all the way down.
69.
Yeah. Fractal Sims.
The day of our Lord, 69.
So I got to just hang out in some Kitsilano times. I put my feet in the ocean for a bit. That was really nice. And then January just hit with a full vengeance. Oh, it was like hot and nice, and then it's just now it's been cold and shitty.
January.
The second that it started, I slept so much better. When it started getting cold again, I was just like...
Nice.
Yeah, because I could be in bed without being a sausage made of sweat. Just encased.
Yeah.
It's disgusting.
What else did I do this week? Last night we had our past guest and very good friend Allison's birthday party. It was a karaoke birthday party they rented an actual karaoke machine and like a big book of CDs that you have to like flip through and get the old school tracks.
You can cute. Rent that?
Yeah. From this guy called, it was like Big Boy Karaoke.
Oh my God.
Not Big Red Karaoke.
Not Big Boy pending. From, not Big B.O.I. from Outkast, I assume.
Right.
That'd be very funny if it was.
But they had this like document that was all of the tracks. And it was, like, not in any particular order. It said it was by artist, but then it wasn't sometimes. And so we were just, like, everyone was randomly flipping through and, like, trying to, like, put songs on. And we wound up getting, yeah, it was really, really good.
Until,
like, 1 a.m. And, yeah, the host of the party said that he had talked to all of his neighbors and given them all chocolates and blah, blah, blah. And he still got, like, complaints.
Ah, bummer.
Because it did go a little loud and people were definitely stomping on the floor because I put the Proclaimers on. Oops.
What you gonna do? Just a bunch of fuddy-duddies is what I hear. Oh, have you ever played that karaoke game when you play karaoke with people that you love, where you you set up the next song for the person after
No,
you?
But I have always wanted to
yes,
do this.
Yes, we kind of tried to do so that a little great. Bit, but it's like, that's fun.
It's great. Especially when they don't know the song. That's my favorite.
When I was driving to pick you up today, Megan, I was listening to, one of my Spotify mixes that they choose for me, and so I have one that's pretty much all 80s stuff, and the Fine Young Cannibals, She Drives Me Crazy came on, and I'm like, I don't know the words to the verses at all, and I don't think anyone would even notice if I went to karaoke and went like, she drives me crazy.
That was a lot of it last night, is that everyone knew the choruses to a lot of things and not the verses at all. But we would just put the CD in, and then we'd, like, go to the track that someone wanted, but then we'd just flip around on the CD and, like, try to find other things, so then suddenly we're seeing, like, Gloria Estefan, and, like...
Poorly written English?
No.
Like, was it... Oh, okay, because those are my favorite, when there's just very clear grammatical errors.
Yeah.
Of,
yep.
Like,
the best.
This got you 12 just cents to make.
Some real mistranslations happening
yes.
in there.
Yes,
yeah.
Yeah,
yeah,
that's
yeah
so
yeah
funny. Yeah. But it was good, we got to sing...
I'm sorry to miss that, but I did end up spending a really nice time with my parents and finding out, yeah, like, that my mom is in good health, so that's great.
Excellent.
Yeah, well, I mean, like, better than health than we thought she was.
Yeah,
so,
yeah, that's so good.
Yeah!
Also, was very sad about Anthony Bourdain all week.
Oh,
I don't know
God,
if we
yeah
get into that a little
that
bit.
That was really upsetting.
So, I've been watching just old episodes of No Reservations and just, like, really... taking in how all these folks are just like, yeah, he never tokenized our culture. He would come and, like, learn from, like, the grandmas, like, what the good food was and, like, be extremely respectful and, like, explored. Like, so I've got this one where it's, like, these islands off of Portugal that I've never heard of before. Yeah, I've never heard of them before. And so I'm watching that, and he's just telling us all about this, like, amazing food that's just there.
Is that the one where he slaughters a pig with them?
I don't think so.
Mm. Well, I watched a Portugal episode, I think, of his show. I tweeted a couple months ago, like even maybe a year ago, something about how I would rather, like, have sex with Guy Fieri than spend an hour with Anthony Bourdain, and I don't actually mean that.
Aww.
I just want to come out and say that that's not true. I thought Anthony Bourdain was interesting, just kind of intense. And he hated vegetarians so much.
Yeah, he hates vegetarians and fat people
yeah
so much.
And I know a lot
so
of really cool
bummer
fat vegetarians, so I'm kind of like, but I'm still very, very sad that he's dead. That's it's a huge bummer.
Yeah.
Yeah. So... don't kill yourself today.
Mm-hmm.
Every day, don't kill yourself.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's a Hillary's slogan.
Yeah.
Every day, don't kill yourself.
Hillary?
That's
our friend Hillary. Yeah. She's got a lot of really good slogans, good vibes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Every day. Just don't.
Yeah. How was your week?
I didn't kill myself.
That's very good.
Yeah.
I feel like there should be more, just as a slight derailment, I feel like there should be more celebrations for not killing yourself.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Because,
that's what a birthday party should be. It's like, holy, I lived, bitch.
Yeah. Yeah. Not at the slight of my own hands, also.
Yeah, so that was good. I didn't do that. What did I do this week? Oh, my God. I didn't do anything. I just took it so easy, because next week is insane. We're going to see Janelle Monáe on Tuesday.
What? She's in town?
Yeah. She's at the CUNY.
Oh, CUNY.
CUNY.
Do you know, are there tickets left still?
I don't know. I would be very surprised if there was.
I had no idea. That's amazing.
Anyway, so she's here on Tuesday. We're going with my wife, and that's going to be awesome.
I totally forgot. It wasn't in my calendar, because Tessa bought the tickets. And normally when you buy tickets, it gets imported into your calendar, so I just didn't even think about it.
Yeah.
And then I saw somebody posted a video and was just like, can't wait for Janelle next week. I'm like...
Next week?
And I had, already made plans for that night with somebody else, and I had to cancel. I'm like, I'm sorry, but Janelle. And she's like, oh, I totally understand.
Yes.
Absolutely get
we
it.
Can go watch Ocean's 8 another day.
Yes.
Yeah, so next week is Janelle. My wife is off to Europe for 2 weeks, and I am hosting Polka Time on Saturday, June 16th.
You're hosting
I am emceeing Polka Time, the first annual East Vancouver Polka Party.
What?
Okay, because I used to be in a band called the Dreadnoughts, and they have formed a polka band called Polka Time, and they're hosting a polka party at the Bavaria House restaurant. It's not actually what it's called, but it's close to the name of it in Vancouver.
The one at Commercial and 33rd or something like that.
I think so, yeah.
These are actual tears. I don't know if you can see me crying from how cool that is.
I used to play bass for the band.
That's amazing!
Yeah, it's going to be so fun. Oh my God, don't cry. My parents are...
That's a thing that exists in our world.
Yes. And my parents are going, which is really fun, because my parents are still in love with Nick, who's the singer, and a very, very, very close friend of mine. So, yeah, a bunch of my family is going. So it's going to be a hoot and a half. It's very G-rated for one of these kinds of events, and we're going to eat, dumplings and meat, I assume.
Schnitzel and spätzle.
Schnitzel and spätzle and potatoes and things and... I'm going to eat an accordion on stage. I'm going to eat a whole accordion. You're literally crying
I'm
about this polka party.
About this polka party.
That's really sweet.
I'll send you a link for it.
I just love it so much.
I just want a baby cake made of rainbows for everybody. How was your week, honey?
Yeah. I mean, now that I know there's a polka party, I have to reevaluate my thoughts on everything.
So funny.
My week was great.
Good.
The Junuary totally affected. Mm-hmm. I've been discovering, I was sharing with you earlier, I've recently totally changed what I eat, and that's also in tandem with the mental health work that I do, on myself, friggin' daily.
Yeah, it's work.
Takes a village sometimes, I actually have to schedule time in my calendar of this is the day that I'm going to grieve my therapy. Fridays are my feelings day.
I'm going to feel all my feelings this day.
I literally don't plan things on Friday because I'm I'm probably going to be feeling too much on this day.
That's
and
amazing.
I'm going to be unhelpful to people around me.
That's right. Really smart.
Oh, it was given to me by somebody very important and close to me as a hack that she does. And it saved my life. I don't think I would have anything even close to a fledgling career if I didn't schedule my feelings and that knew that there were people
brilliant.
Around to call on
it.
That day.
Oh my God.
But I've also discovered that I really get affected by the weather.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not necessarily new information, but particularly
but
now
But you get
that
information every year again.
Every year, yeah. And now that I now that I've also changed the stuff that I put into my body, I also realize how affected I get by chemicals.
Mm-hmm.
And so I've been experimenting with can I add certain chemicals back into my life And I'm just like, that combined with the weather, I was like, whoa! And I was like suddenly thrown into this depression. And like, you know, of course I'm like dealing with everything that I deal with in therapy. So whatever. So who's to say one or the other? But it was like totally like this. Oh my God, who even am I? Like, I get it. Like, cause it's been shared to me that like so much of our experience is not actually who we are. It's like stuff influencing us mm-hmm. around us, like our environment, our chemicals, or whatever. And it's like, I guess I just like I'm feeling it firsthand of like the weather, and then all the like the Anthony Bourdain and the mm-hmm. Kate Spade mm-hmm. and like, and everybody's feeling it. It's up on social media, and it's mm-hmm. like everybody I think has been feeling a lot of sleep and depression a little bit more this week.
Yep. Definitely.
Like, it's certainly been a bizarre experience of like, oh my God, you're sleeping 11 hours a night and hate your life too? Me too!
Same! I slept so late yesterday. Oh my God, I slept so late. I slept till like 12:30 yesterday.
Oh, that's amazing.
It felt pretty good, honestly.
Oh, God bless sleep.
Yeah, well, I wasn't sleeping for a really long time, so that was very helpful, but...
There was definitely something in the air. Like, the other day I was telling you, Katie, I was like, I had kind of a shit day where I was just like running around, like, crazy, hadn't really eaten anything all day, and finally like got to a restaurant at like 4 o'clock and was just like, okay, I'm gonna eat some food. On the way to the restaurant, there was a drunk dude on the bus who was having a Friday, and he dropped his coat, and a woman, like, he got off the bus, and some people were just like, hey, your coat, and he's like, I don't give a shit. But some lady was just like, okay, I'm gonna pick it up, and she kind of leaned out the bus, she's like, your coat, and she kind of threw it to him to catch, and it fell on the ground, and he got so mad, like, stop throwing my things, and he came and, like, took a swing at her, and she, like, ducked onto the bus. Yikes. It was, like, able, and so he just, like, hit the glass of the...
Jesus.
...of the bus, and I'm just like, what is happening with, like...
Moon was full.
Was it a full
was
moon?
Was it really? This was Saturday?
Friday. Like, I was out on, was it Thursday or Friday or Saturday? I can't remember, but I looked out and I was like, oh yeah, the moon's like super full.
I thought the moon was full last week.
Oh, it might have been.
When I was in Victoria.
Maybe I'm high on drugs.
Mm-hmm. I think you just looked up into the sky and it was a street light. And you were like...
It was a Burger King sign. Oh, she looks so beautiful tonight. When the moon hits your eye like a... Oh, fuck, it's Burger King.
Eat Big Walk.
Home of the Whopper.
Common mistake.
Yeah, it's like, yeah, Neil Armstrong never fucking actually got there. Just like, I want it my way.
He just stopped for the crown and finished there.
I'm king of space. Yeah, gotta love that big, beautiful Burger King moon. I don't exactly know why everybody was acting weird, but I felt weird all week.
Yeah, then... there was just some weird charged, like... current that was just going through everybody. Yeah. So the week started off weird and ended weird, and who knows, man.
And it's so annoying that we live in like this society where we actually still have to do stuff when like feelings happen.
Yeah.
You know?
Right. I just really thought about that. I was like, it is rude that I have to do stuff.
It is. Like, I have this... Okay, so I'm, like, reading how to, like this productivity. Like, I've really been interested in reading productivity books and stuff like that. And like
Pomodoro method and stuff like
that. Yeah, and just, like, figuring out what works for me. And so I've got, like, all my my externalized list. Mm-hmm. And so now that I can see all of the stuff that I have to do... Which is better than it swimming around vaguely in my head. Mm-hmm. But now that I see it and I'm, like, sorting out systems that work to me how to see it all at once, it's fucking terrifying. And then you get, like, compounded by, like, feelings day on Friday, feelings day. And I'm like, well, obviously
I'm... all of this before feelings day.
Yeah. I want to feel feelings on Rex Manning day.
It's true. Yeah, it's real annoying that, like, we don't get siestas or...
Yeah, what the frick?
Or just, like, cultural downtime where it's like, hey, everybody in the world, we recognize that this is kind of a weird week, so everything's closing down.
Yeah.
All the businesses are closed. Like, you just kind of have to be with your people this week, and we'll all reconvene next Monday.
Wouldn't
okay, peace out.
Wouldn't that be so great? Wouldn't that be so great?
Mm-hmm. I guess there's the stuff that has to run all the time, like, hospital.
Be the change you want to see in the world.
Just
no hospital.
No hospital.
If you're dead, too bad. You should have stayed dead. No necromancy for you.
I mean, I guess there's some aspects that are good about white man society.
It's very convenient for other white types and man types. And we all have our
She says as she drinks her coffee that was delivered like, on an airplane that flew 24 hours a day that she was adamant she needed to get.
Yeah. Exactly.
It's so good.
Exactly.
It's a great coffee.
It was from Paper Crane?
Paper Crane Coffee. Big shout out to Paper Crane Coffee on Carolina.
Yeah, the second you got into my car, I was like, oh, I like it. Yeah. I didn't, she asked me if I wanted a coffee. I said, no, I already had one. And then I smelled it. And I was like, I want a coffee.
Do you want some coffee? Steve, you're welcome to drink.
I don't know who this character is.
I like it.
Is this Big Red?
It's the character that took that picture outside of the sign by the, or outside of the church by the sign. I sent you that photo, didn't I?
Yeah.
There's a in front of this United Church that my friend's gospel concert was on Friday night. There was a sign that said something needs to change, and it's probably me. So I crouched down beside the sign and made the freakiest face I could think of, like, and it's like, something needs to change, and it's probably my horrible gremlin self. So I just really like that, and that's the vibe I'm trying to put out. It's like, you can't stop me, I'm gonna tell penis jokes everywhere I go.
Good. You're bringing joy to the world,
that's
I think.
Like the character that I bring to bars.
Yes.
Like, when I get hit on, I'm like, bleh!
Do you still like this?
Yeah.
Oh, man. Yeah, I was thinking about, like, I'm all espousing, like, yeah, everything should just shut down. I would be the first one to complain, like, I can't get sushi today, and it's closed on a Sunday. Like
so. this is my day. I shouldn't have to cook. Like, where are my chicken fingers?
Yeah. So, yeah. I'm full of shit. We know this already.
Yeah.
We should have, like, a phased days off or something, like, where a third of everybody gets a day off on a given day.
Yeah, like, and stagger then breathing in choirs.
Mm-hmm, totally.
Oh! You know how you stagger breathe in choirs?
Yes, I'm very familiar with how to be in a choir. You can't all take a breath at the same time or it's gonna look fucking stupid.
Yeah, that's right. As opposed to dagger breathing, which is what I do, on my feelings day.
Oh, I thought you should say that's what you do in a Jamaican dance hall or something like that. You do dagger breathing.
Oh, no, that's what I do when the patriarchy gets me at bars.
Yeah, just...
That's when I pull
elbows out.
Dagger dancing.
Yeah. Dagger dancing, and you like shake your ass so hard that you kill a guy with it.
Yeah.
That's
what
that
was
what
never
I understand
proven.
Dance hall
I
to
was
be.
Acquitted.
Okay.
As a personal,
can we move on?
Personal productivity milestone for me, I finished a whole bullet journal.
Ooh!
So, amazing. Like, the whole book, I've never actually finished a blank notebook for, like, really, you know? So, I finished it. Now I get to start a new one, and
that's
I'm setting
amazing,
it all up,
Chris.
And I'm very excited.
When
I'm
did
about
you
halfway
start?
Through mine.
Nice. I started last May, so basically
okay.
About a year to fill up the
okay, yeah, because you got me onto bulleting.
That's wonderful.
Because you got me onto it.
Oh, fantastic.
The cult is spreading.
I never used my future log, never touched it at all.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Stopped doing a month-to-month
yeah.
And started just doing weeklies and
that's
notes.
That's basically all I do, too. And then I just, yeah, take random notes and...
But isn't that so great? Like, there's so much room for evolution.
You can do anything you want.
The year.
Like yeah. I can do...
God, yours is so pretty.
Thank you. Chris's is even prettier.
I'll show you downstairs.
Oh, you're going to... okay. I'm not going to show you mine.
It is all about what works best for you,
yes.
I think. And I just don't do any other art right now. So getting to do
exactly.
Like something creative inside of this is really fun.
Like, I used to like art as a child.
I drew butts.
Start making art.
Who did it? Lauren Martin McCraw was on our show, and I drew a butt while we were talking.
Aww.
I sometimes just doodle while we're... So, yeah. It's
gotta love that good journal foley here on the microphone.
Lauren got accepted to the Banff Media thing, I think, right?
I think she did.
Some fancy thing in Banff.
Yeah, I think she's
shout
getting
out
back.
To Lauren.
She's getting back onto the stage after the birth of her beautiful baby last year.
Mm-hmm.
The cutest fucking kid I've ever seen, other than that other kid that's really cute.
Mm-hmm. There's lots of cute kids in our lives. We're pretty
yeah.
lucky.
Hero and River are the two cutest, though.
Yeah.
Actually, there's other really cute babies, too, but just those two, I think, are kind of my favorites.
River, like, after Firefly?
No. Her name is River Rose. She's a very beautiful child. She's our friend Noelle's kid.
Mm-hmm.
Super funny and cute.
Mm-hmm.
And no longer afraid of bees.
Yeah.
Yay.
Anyway, so that felt like a little bit of a personal productivity milestone.
Congratulations.
Just like, I actually finished a book instead of, like, abandoning something halfway through.
Yeah.
The first time I ever finished a notebook, which has only happened one time
mm-hmm.
before what I assume will be this one, was my first comedy notebook.
Mm-hmm.
So to finish that was very exciting.
Oh, you did finish a full podcast notebook.
Yes,
well.
I did. And yeah. I actually finished two comedy notebooks.
Nice.
And started a new comedy notebook, which was this one. Or not this one, but my bullet journal.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
You guys are making me cry again.
Oh, no! It's not Friday! Megan, you're not supposed to have feelings on Sunday.
I'm sorry. Stop being so goddamn beautiful and accomplished.
You Don't worry, we're also salty fucking bitches.
Okay, let's get to that part.
I'm a bitch, 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 and I'm a bitch. I'm really just a bitch. I sing that to Tessa all the time. She loves it because I do it every time I'm being a bitch to her. She's like, you're being a huge bitch right now.
You're like, the song told you, baby. I don't know. It was in our wedding vows.
Yes. I will be a bitch, a lover, a child, a mother.
Tell me that's the song you danced to at your wedding.
Oh, that was amazing.
We walked into a Nine Inch Nails song, and we walked out to Golden Years by David Bowie.
When you do your vow renewals, you'll do it to
bitch.
I will do it down. Wow, wow. Like, just walking into that. I hate the world.
We should have
today.
Done that at karaoke last night. What the fuck?
Oh, it's a good karaoke.
You know what, though?
This
karaoke thing, they just didn't have any good songs for, like, 90s.
That sucks. Did they didn't have What's Up by Four Non Blondes?
No.
Which is the best karaoke song?
They didn't really have a
terrible,
great
song.
A lot of good selection. They had a lot of, like, Rihanna and Ariana Grande and, like, things that I don't really know that well.
Yeah, things that are new music. Yeah. Young ones.
Exactly. So, but they just didn't have, they had nothing from Big Shiny Tunes too, which is a tragedy. And so all of us are like in our mid-30s and we're like, what the fuck are we supposed to sing?
I actually don't have any idea how old you are. You don't have to tell me. But
no.
I just have no
concept. Do you want to guess? Should we play that game? Can I...
28?
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I'm older.
Okay.
I'm older.
So are we.
Yeah.
I would have 31?
I'm 34.
You're
and a half.
I did not think you
I'm
were older than
and
me.
A half.
I would not
have
guessed
many
that.
People do.
I'm very immature.
I'm very immature. Can we get every answer that question about grown woman now? This is the perfect time.
No, this is lovely because it's very unusual for us to be able to have somebody on the show who is not our, like 5 years our junior. I guess that's not true.
No,
we have friends our own age.
Well, how old are you guys?
I'm 33.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So we're very close in age.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So are you 82 or no? I mean 85.
That's not how number works. Yeah.
I don't know if you know this, but I went to a fancy boarding school for my prep experience.
Did you go to a fancy boarding school?
I did, and I actually recently got asked to go back in February of this year to speak at their career day.
Oh my
day.
God, please tell us about this. I'm tired of talking about myself. Let's
really?
Hear about
okay.
this.
I went asked to go back to their career day. Oh, this is... And I realized...
Who wants to work in the arts?
Yeah, I was like... I'm the best grad that you've got. That was my first thought when they asked me to go back.
How prestige is this?
And then I did. Oh, and it gets better. And then I did the math of like how much my tuition was for grade 10 in 1999.
Okay.
And how much my notice of assessment this last tax year showed that I made gross income. And in 1999, my tuition, without even adjusting for inflation, was $5,000 more than my gross declared income. And I'm like a scaredy cat. I declare everything. Even cash, sometimes.
Just in case the government's listening. It is not. Nobody is. You're safe.
That declaring in-kind income, that's bullshit.
Yeah,
who does that? But, yeah, but gross income was $5,000 more without even adjusting for inflation in 1999.
Shit.
Yeah.
I like to when UBC calls me because I'm an alumna from UBC.
Yeah,
I don't
yeah.
know an alum. And they call and they're asking for fundraising and they're just like, yeah, like so what do you? Because they always get people from your discipline to call you.
Oh.
So it's like, hi, I'm a women's studies major, and
right,
so I'm calling. So what
right.
did you do with your degree? I'm like, I don't have any money to give you. Bye.
You know, that's so funny. I worked at an alumni call center for my university.
I try to be nice to
in
them.
Third year, and I remember I got a music grad, and I was in music, and I called him for a donation, and he literally laughed in my face. I remember because you have like the ask, you have like the script, right? Of like, would you consider a weekly or a monthly donation of $50 a month? And he was like, ha, no,
that's my grocery
and
budget.
Like, yeah, and then he was like, you know what? You sound nice. And he was like, I'll give you a one-time $25 donation. And I just remember being like, that is my future. I just heard the whisper in my head of like, this is me in 15. And guess what, you guys? It is 10, 15 years later.
I do
and
not
it
have
is indeed me.
$25 to donate.
It'll depend if I declare that cash or not.
You have such a beautiful cackle. I love it. You have a laugh and you have a cackle, and I like that you have both. Because sometimes you just gotta cackle.
Yeah.
Sometimes the inner witch must come out.
Oh, right? Oh, I was certainly hung as a witch or burned as a witch in a past life.
Like a witch.
I was hung like a witch.
You showed me your big old witch titties. Big old witch titties. Let the record show that Leather Megan is gesturing huge watermelons.
Below the belly button line.
Wouldst thou
below
like to
navel.
Live deliciously? I have not seen The Witch spelled with two V's
you
yet.
Should. It's so good. Did you go to the career day?
Or oh, I did, yeah.
So what happened?
Oh, it was actually really awesome. Okay. It was really fun. Like, it was spearheaded by Mr. Connolly. Shout out to him, who's rad, who was an English teacher when I was there. Who is like, you know, and I must say, the school itself has really improved its artistic budget.
Programming,
yeah. And because when I was there, not only did we not have any drama or music or anything, and it's like a totally workaholic school. Like, okay. It's like, and I suppose this is the nature of boarding school, of... actually, it's funny because you had asked me the question about barriers, and this is something I've been thinking about a lot.
Okay.
About, like, this was an unseen barrier that that I didn't realize I had until I went back to the school and, like, you know, felt all the feelings and saw it and was like, oh, it's this institution derived from, like, an old school boarding experience. Mm-hmm. So, like, Harry Potter style, like, mm-hmm. old school with houses and everything.
Cloaks.
Yeah, used to be an old boys' school.
Mm-hmm.
Rugby, like all rugby, you know, right. sports, old British sports. and academics, rugby and academics. And so anything else was just like, because we're going to well-round you for your academic career. And so
a little bit of artistic flavor for
yeah, and so it's like, you know, the artist is just a way to well round and pad your resume. So you have to, and it's still quite the same. Like there were actually a lot more similarities than I thought mm-hmm. when I went back. But you have to take, like, your schedule is set from 6:30 or 7 in the morning until 10 o'clock at night.
Jeez.
Like your time is completely scheduled, and that's 7 days a week. Every two or so weekends you get a leave weekend. If you want, but you also have to take a sport and you have to take a fine art every semester.
Wow.
So you were doing sport.
Like a strict parent.
You were doing sport, I think, 4 to 5 days a week, depending on how intern you were. And then fine arts 1 to 2 days a week.
Mm-hmm.
And so, as the like fledgling creative that I am, that would have been a good time to gesture my witch titties, I think, there. I chose the wrong action. But I did musical theater. That was my, fine art.
Nice.
But it was, like, even though they have this high budget and they have the costume and they pay for it, it was, like, the years that I did it, it was run by this person who I will not name, who was not, like... They just...
Let the record show that person was said as in the sun was sin. For sin.
They were just very... like needed to prove something.
Okay.
And so took over a musical, which is not just generally, but across the board, universally acknowledged as a discipline that is directed by somebody, musical directed by somebody else, and choreographed by a third somebody else.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this person took on all of those things.
Aye, aye, aye.
Yeah. I'm a triple threat
and
to this
had,
production.
And also, let the record show, had no training in any of those things.
Oh my God.
Any of them whatsoever. And, and so it was cool because I was like Anna and the King and I, and so I was like a lead in this show. But it was like my only artistic outlet, and it was like just a really horrible, painful experience, actually.
Oh,
man. Aside from the fact that, you know, I got to do the thing that I loved for 4 days on a stage. But besides that, going back was actually like a really interesting like of like, wow, that like I was really set up for artistic failure mm-hmm. in that just having the creativity stamped out of you.
Mm-hmm. And so, like really, yeah, hyper scheduled and not actually having any room for real
exact organic expression. Growth. Exactly. Mm-hmm. Or my own self expression or anything. Mm-hmm. And so the flip side of that was that when I went back to the school and I saw all that and felt all that, I like, you know, I did my little speech and I was able to share and it was actually very sweet. There was like this small little army of just like girls like that were, I could see, I was like, little Megan, who came up to me after and like with just tears and just being like,
oh, like, oh, you're crying stuff too.
Can you, yeah. But like, how do we do it? How do we, knowing that like, this is just where we have to be? Because like, for me, it was like, that was pretty much my only option mm-hmm. just because of my family home situation and whatever. And so it was like, I had chosen to go to boarding school and that was the healthiest choice mm-hmm. for me. And I was lucky that I could afford it. But if I'd had my way, I would have like stayed in Vancouver and just been way more artsy.
Yes.
But that wasn't the reality that I could have had. Mm-hmm. So that was like this, you know, artistic barrier. And so that was a cool thing of like being able to share just kind of like an It Gets Better message.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know, with you, like these
it
young.
It might be shitty to kind of be in the boarding school and being scheduled yeah. and stuff, but just know that this is fleeting in the grand
exactly,
scheme of things.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. And that they could just like embrace that experience as like this weird experience mm-hmm. that not everybody gets to get.
Totally. Draw from that in your
exactly.
next.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Yeah, because, like, one thing that I didn't realize was because I was really, because I think we've already established that my feelings rule everything. And,
I sure do.
And so I was, like, really feeling my body as I walked around on the campus and, like, ugh, this is where I feel trauma. And, like, ugh, this is where my body remembers this. But then I went to the rowing crew house because I rowed when I was there. And, like, I was totally expecting to be like, blech, another, blech, hated it.
Yeah.
And my body was like, ah. And I was like, oh, I felt safe with, because I was, like, a really good rower. Like, mm-hmm. it was the only thing that made me cool. Like, as much as Megan is ever going to be cool, like, let's call a spade a spade, that, like, or a tit, that, like, I went there, but it was, like, in a sports school, we would go to St. Catharines, like, the championships every year, and I was, like, part of, like, this championship crew that, like,
cool.
would place, like, gold, silver medal. Plus, have you guys ever rode, like,
no,
with a
but
crew
just,
or?
I would
been
imagine
on the, machine.
The team.
The ERG. Yeah,
I've been on the ERG,
it's
yeah.
cool, because it's a really sporty, like, it's probably one of the more, like, hive mind sports mm-hmm. to do, because you literally are in
you
sync.
You must get into the same.
And you have
yeah.
to breathe together. And then you're, like, literally, you're being called stroke, stroke, stroke by the crew. So it's really meditative as well.
Yeah.
And you usually row when the water's calmest. So, like, at 5:30 or 6. So you have this, like, shared experience of, like, living with all these girls because we would live in the house together.
Mm-hmm.
All of us were in this one house. And we would wake up at, like, 5:30 in the morning on weekdays. And it's, like, freezing cold or, like, snowing. Like, sometimes we would have the cocks sticking out the front of the shell, like, breaking ice for
yeah.
us. At, like, 5:30 in the... Like, when am I ever... Like, good God, if I ever have that experience again, somebody shoot me. But, like, but it was also just really cool.
Yeah, that's such an amazing thing to reflect on. It's just, like, that is totally part of
it's
my
a pretty,
tapestry.
It's
that's
a culty
cool.
sport, for sure. Like, the people who are
yeah.
here, like, we're rowing.
Oh, my God.
Rowers.
And, like, the weirdest, like inside jokes that, looking back, it's, like, men would stuff their socks down their unitards to be like, yo.
Check out my dick. My dick.
Padded and lumpy.
My favorite kind.
I should get that checked out. That's actually not a sock. That's just a large testicle that I'm pretending.
I'm scared.
No, really. Is anyone a doctor?
Is it true that if I pee on a pregnancy test, I can tell that I have cancer? Anyway, what was I going to say about rowing? It was... Oh, yeah. I was behind a Jeep with a... I had to get really, really close to it to see the bumper sticker, but it was like, during the week, erg on the weekends, or something weird like
that.
Yeah,
that sounds about right.
But I read it as eng. I'm like, I row at this time, and then eng at this time. I'm like, oh, you row and you're an engineer. Like, congratulations, you are someone I will never have sex with, because you'll be very weird about it. But it was to turn out they're just a rower, they're not also an engineer, so it's okay.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
So they'll just, the sex will just be like, stroke.
And there have to be 8 of them at one time.
I mean, I don't make the fucking rules. Oh my god, we gotta
4
get into
on the port, 4 on the starboard.
Oh my god, that's quadruple, octuple. Oh no, yikes.
I'm considering it. Anyway, should we take a quick break?
Yeah.
We're back.
We've returned from the other side, aka whizzing. Having a whiz. Everybody feel good?
Yeah.
Good.
So on our last podcast, we're like, how do we do better?
Our podcast is not very good. Like, this is much better than average. What's happening today?
It's the witch titties, isn't it?
It's the witch titties. Going to be the title of this episode now at this point. Like, I've underlined it several times going, there's not going to be a better one. Nice. That's it, is witch titties.
Nice. Anyway. So we were like, how do we do better? And so maybe we'll actually start, like, we live a lot of our lives, Katie and I, we've realized, in the realm of fantasy, where it's just like, what
it's
are
some sweet,
of the...
sweet fantasy baby.
Yeah, you know, a little bit of escapism, indulgence, and it's like, how can we maybe ask our guests to indulge with us?
Play in the space with us, Megan.
Play with us. In this room, I'll play with you anywhere.
It's pretty small, so it's just going to have to be within this room. So do you want to...
Well, you came up with a better question.
Okay, I did. Well, I did do a better job than Chris, because I'm better than she is. This is not true. I am so full of shit.
I will neither agree nor disagree with probably. Any of this, because I feel that I don't know Chris well enough, and you seem delightful. So
I'm pretty great. It's fine.
She is. Yeah, she has. Her self-esteem is fine. She'll be fine. So basically, we were sort of thinking, like, we originally were like, what is your dream show? And then I realized that's not the most interesting question, because that might be the most artistically integral show that you would put on. What we want to know is, what is the most, like, what's the biggest vanity project you would put on? If like, other people's opinions didn't matter, if the reception to it didn't count, if it was just like, if you were just going to feel good about it, what would you do? What kind of vanity production would you put on?
So we picked this because we didn't even mention this. Like, you do theater and you do one-woman shows and you do all kinds of... So I think that was kind of picked up in our conversation, that you have theater background and everything, but this is kind of what you're doing a lot of...
Yeah.
You put on shows.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so if you were totally unencumbered by, I have to sell tickets, I have to read reviews about it,
I can't do this thing that's very self-indulgent, or...
Oh. Oh my god.
Because I think to myself that if I was going to do this, if it was purely for vanity and purely for fun, I'd want to be in a David Bowie cover band. And, like, have people love me for it.
Would you open for the Polka Festival? Is the question.
I don't think it would fit, but sure I would. I would do anything that they asked me to.
Who wouldn't? Really?
When it's polka. You can't stop yourself. That tuba just gets your ass shaking in a circle.
Can't poke the polka. Let's see. Ooh, what a good question.
Thank you.
That's a great... Okay.
It was a good question.
I wonder if the answer that's coming up for me, unless I... maybe I'll start on the first thing that's coming up for me, and then if something better comes, I might switch tactics.
Perfect.
And just,
yes,
like, do a
mid-conversation
lurch.
Yeah, don't self-censor.
Just let
it flow, baby.
Well, what's coming up is actually my next show, which I am writing right now, slowly, which is a hard departure from what I have been working on, like, what I've created an audience for myself to date. Which is annoying, because it's like, you know, Neil Gaiman has talked about there are dolphins in the creative world and there are otters. Have you?
I have not heard this before.
Otter? No, okay. So he talks about, like, there are some people in the creative world who are dolphins. And you think about, like, you go to the aquarium, right? You pay the price of admission to see everything. No matter what you see, it's the same price of admission. So you pay for the dolphin. Dolphin shows at 2 o'clock. They do the same tricks every time, you know, flips, you know, kisses, all of it. Mm-hmm. You know what you're in for, family friendly, and it's great.
Yeah.
Right? But for the same price of admission, you will also go see the otters, right? And who fucking knows what the otters are going to do, right? Not only are the otters, like, sometimes they're really cute and they're, like, eating delightful little
treats off of their belly
shells. Yeah, and they're holding hands. Sometimes they're, like, taking a shit in the corner. Sometimes they're, like, hiding, not even showing. I've actually heard, I shared this analogy with somebody else, and they were like, actually, otters are, like, terrible misogynists. Like, they're, like they sexually assault each other, apparently. Like,
oh, yeah, they're just... they're animals. Like...
anyway, so, but same price of admission. You never know what the fucking otter is going to do.
Yeah.
And so he says that there are some creatives who are dolphins, you know, who have, like, figured out the game of, like, this is how we make the money. And they actually feel creatively fulfilled by, like, doing their tricks and, like, you know, being commercially viable and entertaining and all that stuff. And unfortunately, that has not appeared to be my creative path whatsoever. I am, like, the gangy witch-titty otter in the corner, you know, just, like...
breaking stuff with your favorite rock.
Yeah, and compulsively eating, overeating clams.
Getting into those anemones.
To calm my anxiety about my mother issues. You know, like...
she didn't, hoping somebody... she didn't float with me on her furry belly.
Feeling resentful of all of the other floaty otters who are raised by nurturing parental figures. Yeah, so that's, like, so that has been, this thing in my creative, like, every year I feel like I'm just constantly reinventing what I'm doing. Mm-hmm. But it's annoying because it feels like the work picks me. Anyway, so the show, to answer your question, the show that I am working on is, like, my version of, say, if Bo Burnham... and Tim Minchin.
I like it already.
Maria Bamford just had, like, a big fucking triad and, like, popped out some poorly played ukulele baby. Like, that would be what this next show is going to be.
Oh, outstanding.
That's a pretty good combo of things, quite honestly.
Those are three of my favorite things.
Oh, yeah. Really? Yeah. Yeah. So what I want to create is, so the show that, that I am, I'm, okay, so it's, I'm hoping it's going to be, like, Megan is making it, or, like, Megan Phillips is making it, and it's all about the creative process slash, what does it mean to make it in the industry.
Mm-hmm.
But I want it to be much more comedic than my last two shows, because I've been, like, really dancing the tragicomedy edge in the past few shows, of, like, calling them comedy with a very loose label of, like, laughing and crying. It's the same, right? At some level, just tears squirt out of your eyes.
Did you see this picture in my feed from the other day? It was, like, the coolest thing. It was when one of my best friends met Tim Minchin at Sasquatch when she was working backstage and was like, oh, Katie loves him, so... made a sign that says, I heart Katie Nordgren, and got him to stand with her to take a picture. And then when I met him a few months later, I took an 8x10 of this. He's like, oh my God, that was you! I've been wondering who that was for.
Yeah, yeah, and it's annoying when, like, your idols are so insanely brilliant, mm-hmm. you know, of, oh, like, yeah. how can so nice. I ever, but it's like, how can I ever even make an iota of the art that you create, you know?
Every time I do a weird voice, someone's like, it's just like Maria Bamford, you're copying yeah. her. I'm like, oh, I am, too.
But it's like, I hope that the work that I do that is, like, modeled after the matter is, or after the master is, mm-hmm. like, even, like, worthy, you know, of, like, the hero themselves is how I feel. So, like, so that's why it's terrifying to me. And the other part of it, that the thing that Bo Burnham does that I am really rediscovering in myself is, like, the theatricality and the performance
the staging
value of everything.
I love that so
yeah.
much.
Yeah. I use audio cues better than anybody.
Yeah, like, I have discovered this year that I, so with all these changes that I've been making, one of the reasons that I started doing it was because I've been singing for 15 years, And I would always lose my voice. And I couldn't figure out why. And then finally, it just really, like, hit me. And this is not new information, but I was finally able to, like, make changes
about it. Sometimes takes a couple tries.
Decades? Yeah. for this guy? Yeah. And I just discovered I had acid reflux. And it was, like, fucking me up.
Wow.
Like, it really is a silent killer.
Yeah.
And as soon as I made lifestyle changes and went on medication, like, hard change.
Wow.
Combined with the trauma work that I've been doing, mm-hmm. where I discovered that so much of my neck trauma, that's so much of, because I've been studying for 15 years, like, if I don't know my technique, like, I'm kind of, you know, somebody... check my IQ, like, because the technique is there, but it's like, I didn't realize how much of the trauma was like making me tense and affecting the actual tone and the longevity of the voice.
Right.
So those have been some big shifts that have happened this year. And what I've rediscovered is like this joy for singing that I haven't felt.
Oh,
and
it,
like,
makes me so happy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so that has led me to, but the terrifying part of that is it's led me to realize that I have these like big dreams that I was like, I can't because I, you know, my voice disappeared and like, you know, and I had to bury them and focus on other stuff. And now they're like emerging, especially around like musical theater in general and like getting, and then I've also like been getting back into dance to the best of my ability and discovering like, oh, this is actually stuff that not only do I love to do, but I'm actually good at. And to dumb that down is doing a disservice, you know, to the creator
to
that
protect
gave
your
them
ego
to me.
Or to, yeah.
Yeah, and it's like, that's really fucking scary, too.
Yeah.
Like, the scariest, because it's like, oh, this means that I can't just hide behind a funny voice now. Like, if it's actually something that I want to do, I have to, like, get out there and audition.
Yeah.
Or put it in a show.
And be vulnerable.
And be vulnerable.
Ew.
And, like, try and be good at it.
Oh!
Stop telling us to do stuff, Brené Brown. It's hard.
Yeah.
It's all at Brené. At Brené.
Fuck you, Brené. Like, my sacred ground is shitty and dark. I don't want to
like,
stand
don't at me, bitches. Do the work.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that's my very long answer, that it would be like all of that with a high performance value and but to the best caliber of like a high, like as much budget as I can muster.
Would this be like is there an existing performer that has a vibe that you feel that you have kinship with, or like you're not like a Barbara Streisand type, or are you?
Oh, you mean like actor persona wise?
Sure.
Or
stage persona, type of performance you want to do, like a Patti LuPone or.
Oh, what a great question. That's interesting. Aside from the Maria Bamford, the Tim Minchin, and the Bo Burnham, I think Bo Burnham is just a little too what's the word? Like jaded, to like cynical.
Yeah.
Like his persona.
You're
is
much
just
more
a
optimistic
too,
than he is,
yeah.
For sure.
Yeah, and I think that like I've been
your darkness is soft in your performances.
I really like that.
Yeah, I was because I went and saw Periscope.
Right, right.
And which was excellent. It was
very
good, because like I'm like, oh, I'm going to a friend's fringe show performance. I'm like, this is because I like them, and I actually really enjoyed it. I thought you were
oh
fabulous.
Oh my god, thank you.
But I would
thank
have said
you.
That I liked it regardless, but I actually did like
it.
Oh,
so. I appreciate that. I appreciate that.
And it was in a yoga studio, which was very cool.
Yeah.
I thought that was an interesting space to experience it, because I was, like, right down on the floor. I was, like,
yeah.
Like a little kid sitting crisscross
so
applesauce.
So intimate. Yeah, yeah.
So it was very cool. So I found that, like, you talk about darkness stuff, but it's often, like, with a smile on your face and with a, I'm having a realization as I'm getting into this darkness, this embarrassing thing that happened to me. Like, the humiliation that I'm feeling in this moment was serving me.
Mm-hmm. Do you talk about how, like, yeah, how you go through it, I guess, and there's always the light at the, not that's cheesy light at the end of the tunnel, but, like, there is, you know, I'm not avoiding this anymore, I'm going through it.
You're not going, art is a lie, nothing is real.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you for saying that. And actually, thank you for
like
pointing that out to me. because I do feel that, like, I'm in this place of exploration this year, as I've already kind of shared, like, what do I eat that works for me? What do I, How do I make time happen that works for me? How do I find a bra to fit my witch titties? You know, it's you gotta get measured for that shit. But
excuse me, curves? Do you, or what is it called?
Change.
Do you have this in witch sizes?
Made out of seaweed and fishnets.
It's the Sea Hags brand bras for your witch titties.
HOCUS Pocus. No, and so I'm like, I'm exploring. I'm considering. Well, I'd like to get back into stand-up at the tail end of this year just to start remembering my, like, exploring my persona of who I am now, mm-hmm. of, like, my persona 3 years ago just no longer works, which is why I took time away. Mm-hmm. But now that I'm discovering all of these, like, who do I want to be perceived at as on stage?
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like I'm unsure. I really appreciate you saying that to me because, like, that's something I have such a mental blind spot mm-hmm. around. It's so hard to get my own perspective on.
Yeah.
You know,
you can't look at yourself without the layers of every life experience you've had. And so you have a very, like a very pinhole view of yourself in the role you play in the world.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
Right.
I lose out on that all the time.
Do each of the Sims feel that way?
They're just like, where's my pizza? I peed in the pool.
No ladder for you.
Till you stop peeing.
Till you stop peeing in the pool.
You can kill your Sims by not letting them pee. It's horrible.
No, they just pee now.
Okay.
Yeah. Sims 3, they've really upgraded. I haven't gone to Sims 4.
You can't murder them easily anymore.
I just love that you still play Sims.
Yeah. And Civ 5.
That's amazing.
Yeah, I was actually just thinking about, I haven't played Sims for a while, but I was thinking about it because I'm having a lot of dream house fantasies where I'm like, I'm looking at real estate, I'm imagining where I might want to move because I'm feeling a little like oppressed by Vancouver right now, so I'm like, where else can I move? And I'm looking at houses and I'm just like thinking about my dream house. I'm like, why don't I just build it in The Sims? And then it's just out of my brain. So I think
I love that. Yeah. That's some secret shit.
Yeah, it's like getting it out of there and putting it on computer paper.
Well, because otherwise it just really does, God, what's that word when it's like anxious and you're just like worrying over it all the time. And I'm just like, I'm thinking about it constantly. Like this house, like I really want this, I really want these. And so it's like, if I can just put
hyper-fixated?
Yeah, if I can just take it out of my brain, then it's like, then it's there, and then I have room for other things.
Totally.
But external right now I'm just caught in this loop because I'm just like, I want out of everything.
Yeah. Dude, I actually just messaged that to some of my UK friends. I was like, I really want to just move to Salt Spring, like, now.
Yeah.
But they don't have the most robust art community on the island. Like, they have as much as they can for having, like, 10,000 people that live there.
It's also really expensive on Salt Spring.
Mm-hmm. The real estate actually isn't that expensive, at least for land. We were looking at a 3.5 acre spot that was $299,000. So that is a lot of money, but it's also not totally out of line.
Yeah.
So it's a possibility. I just want to leave the city so badly. Like, past guest, we talked about this actually last episode. Our very good friend Avery Alder, who is moving out of Vancouver I think one of the hippie enclaves up in the interior somewhere.
Yeah.
And she's like, honestly, this is why I'm leaving Vancouver, is because I am a wounded animal and I will not heal with this much stuff coming at me all the time.
Mm.
And I was like, fuck, I feel that in my very bones. I was like, I feel like I can't say that. Like, how dare I say that I'm a wounded animal? Like, I'm a privileged white, like, I'm married, I have a house, I have an apartment, you know, I have all of these things. Like, how dare I feel like I'm being assailed on all sides? I'm like, no, I'm so sensitive. I can't handle the world in this 24-hour news cycle and Facebook and Twitter and all that kind of stuff where I'm just like, oh, everyone's pain is so visible all the time and nobody's doing anything about it.
Mm-hmm.
So I was just like, I can't keep living in that headspace because then I won't do anything. I'll just be paralyzed.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm just like, so the idea of like wanting to move is just an escapist fantasy right now, but I also do kind of want to move.
Yeah. And you're allowed to.
Or just to be able to go back and forth or something so I can just get away sometimes.
Mm-hmm. You could buy a little property and put a yurt there and go live in your yurt sometimes.
You know that I will put a yurt on it no matter what size property I have. You know I love those Mongolian homes.
That's the new, like, Portlandia. Put a yurt on it.
Put a yurt on it.
Yeah, that's something I've been exploring, like, what seasons and rhythms work for me. As I've been discovering my own seasonal rhythm.
Yeah.
You know, one of my dreams is to just go, because I have a friend in Toronto, shout out Andrew Young, who he said this model of, like, has his dream life, and I was like, oh, I want that. I'm going to steal
your dream. I'm stealing your dream.
I'm stealing your dream.
Control-C, Control-V. My dream now.
My dream now. Hashtag my dream now. Yeah, which is, like, a third, a third, a third. So, like, a third city life, a third country life. So, a third of the year city life, a third of the year country life, and a third of the year tour life.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Yeah.
And
oh, that's beautiful. Yeah. I like that. That would
and
really
it's like
suit you.
Either yes. all in one chunk or just here, there, and the other. And, you know, like I've been to, this is the first year that I'm not fringing in 6 years.
And you go like all across summer. Canada yeah, the whole summer. Yeah.
Different cities, sometimes less, sometimes more. But I've always had a new creative project that I've taken to a different audience somewhere else. And this is the first year in 6 years that I haven't done it. And it's terrifying. But it's also showing me that, like, I so crave having that rhythm of just, like, something to look forward to.
Oh, my God. Just having your like, we used to as kids, you know, we used to get a summer.
Yeah.
And it was just, like, this discrete amount of time that you could kind of do what you wanted with if you had a certain amount of freedom. And we just don't get that anymore.
Yeah.
We get 10 days if you have a full-time job. Like, if you're not lucky.
Or a teacher. If you're a teacher.
They don't have any freedom, ultimately, because they make no money, and it's horrible. Yeah.
Then you have to be a teacher.
Yeah.
I like the seasonal rhythm thing so much, where it's like, our bodies want to do this.
Yeah.
And all of us still feel that connection to the land, and not to get too, like, as the indigenous people did, but it's like, there is, like, there the seasonal work and stuff like that, where it's like, you, like...
You're not tilling the fields in December.
Well, yeah, and so it's any agricultural culture, like, has that. And so our actual society that we've kind of structured around things don't respond to that kind of natural rhythm. But it's, like, in the spring, that's when, like, new ideas, new creativity. Like,
horny.
You're horny.
So horny.
To,
yeah.
In the spring.
You know, and then in the summer, you just kind of play around.
Too hot to be horny.
I prefer Twitter-pated myself.
It's a good, this is a very innocent word for it. Yeah. Oh, it's making me titter-pated.
I like
oh,
thirsty.
Oh, you just dirtied it out, titter-pated.
Yeah, I did.
I like thirsty. Springtime, the thirst.
Thirst, yeah, the thirst is real.
Yeah. Yeah, so, mine more like a blood hunger. I think that I put it down there because I'm like, oh, you got a target on your back, boy.
But then, yeah, summer, too hot to be horny, too hot to do much.
Yeah.
That's the time you'd, like, hang out with your family, you go camping, you go do all these different things. You should have more freedom to do that. September does feel like getting down to work time. That, to me, always feels like the new
year. When you get down to business to defeat the Huns.
Yeah, sure.
And, you know, fucking harvesting your shit or whatever. All the seeds that you planted in the spring with your creative projects, you then, like, unroll them and... September.
Yeah.
And then in the winter you like hunker with like your closest people and you just kind of
you hygge.
Yeah, and you just kind of heal yourself and get ready for like
roast and drink tea.
Yeah, to be really excited about spring again. And like my body does that and I respond that way. My moods go that way and I'm just mad that like
work doesn't allow for it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
So
I love the idea.
Let's fix it all.
I want to move into a life where you know what the thing is I think a lot of us don't believe that we have any control over this stuff. And let's be real, like money is such a big thing, like you have to have it, and if you have to have a certain kind of job for that, then you don't have the freedom to do whatever you want. But, you know, within certain structures, we're all just telling ourselves that we have to do things a certain way. That's definitely my situation, where I don't have to work at the job I'm working at right now. It's not essential, but I'm like, then I should.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I should do it, because if I don't, then people will be mad at me.
Yeah.
That's not my problem. But I think it is. I'm like, oh, I should make my life so that you don't have to be mad at me and waste your energy on that, because I should be managing that for you.
Yeah, but at the same time, there is that dance of, like, there is also accountability, though, as well, right? Of,
but there's,
like, what
but you
is
don't
the
have
right
to be
size?
Obsessively available
totally,
all the time
totally.
To just be the responsible person. Like, you can also have your own life.
Totally.
To a degree.
And the annoying, ironic thing, too, that I really am looking at putting better into practice moving forward that I've historically not been great at. But the few times I have done it, I've discovered that it responds, is that when you set your own boundaries, people actually respond better.
You're talking to the boundaries queen here.
I mean, I'm...
Are you?
I'm
Show me your secrets.
I'm slacking bad.
I'm fucking
Tell
sliding off
secrets.
The map with my boundaries. No, I cannot give advice right now.
Historically, though, very
but,
yes.
But it is annoying because, like, it does get better, but you have to be ready to deal with the pushback right off the top.
Oh,
and
I hate
that's
it.
The thing.
Yeah.
That's the reason that it can be so difficult, is because if you start, like, it can be, it's so much easier to set boundaries with somebody new, because once they're set, then
you good.
Then you good.
And you can relax them later if you get to know someone more or whatever, but it's so hard to put them in when you've already been such an open book for people, and then it's suddenly you're putting in boundaries like, hey,
and there's pushback, because it's changing the nexus. Yeah.
What, don't you like me anymore?
Yeah. It's a hard discussion to have. Tis. But it's so good.
And it's ongoing. Ugh, that's the other thing, is that it's constantly evolving.
Guys, we have to keep working on stuff all the time.
All the time! All the time.
Me tired. Me just want to rest my big old witch titties.
Do it on Friday.
Okay. Friday's feelings
day.
That's
what I do.
I really like that a lot.
Friday's feelings day.
I'm going to schedule a day to have feelings. So I'm actually going to do that. Because I'm really bad at it. I'm always having feelings, and I'm always like, nope, not right now.
I strongly support that. I strongly. But the other thing is, because then it comes out and it bites you in the ass if you don't do it. At least that's my experience.
Sometimes you yell at your boss.
There is an excellent.
Yeah, or you break down. Like, I was at this weekend in Cape Cod the other day, and I hadn't.
As one does.
And I had had these crazy therapy sessions.
My sons, Brayden, Jaden, and Aiden were all on the lawn. They were playing bocce.
Yeah.
In Cape Cod.
And it was going to be this super fun weekend, and I ended up having this, like, totally intense, like, panic attack and download. Looking back, and it's like, you know, I made it through, and I had my support, and we got through it, and whatever. But it was like, looking back, it's like, if I had just not been traveling that day, if I had just been able to go home, like, I was a ticking time bomb. Mm-hmm. You know, like, if I had had my Friday feelings day, I could have just imploded in, like, a safe, padded environment, and then I would have been free to go out and not, like, feelings barf all over everybody else and draw them into my, like, contagion, you know?
Come into my yurt of emotions, my hurt yurt.
My hurt yurt. Oh, my God. Can you... Will your yurt be a hurt yurt?
It could be a hurt yurt. It was going to be a menstrual hut, and it's going to be called the hurt yurt.
Yeah. Oh, all in together. All in one.
So good, right? Holy shit. The fucking red tent, my friends.
Oh, I love it!
Oh, Megan, you are the right person for this podcast. We will be having you back for sure.
Yes. I think
Chris is a little in love with you, too. So.
Yeah.
Guys, what a great episode.
This podcast.
Oh. Excellent. Well, great. I enjoy us. And this feels good. I was feeling, a little just like, Katie was like, do you need a break? Do we not record? I'm like, I really want to record. Mm. And so I'm so happy.
Oh,
you're exactly the right person that came
and
made my weekend feel really good.
Oh my God, you guys made my weekend. I was supposed to cater today.
Oh.
And my catering shift got canceled. So that's why I was last minute available, because I usually wouldn't be available.
Yes. Fabulous.
So timing, right?
Yes.
Timing.
Timing.
Mm-hmm.
Timing.
When it's, I have a friend who says, when it's odd, it's God. Whether you believe in God or not, I like that feeling of like there are things outside of our control.
Yeah.
I love it.
Do you have anything, because this is going to come out on Tuesday, do you have any things that you can promote that people could go see? Or are you kind of doing
any
a little...
classes or anything? Doing any uke jams?
Let's see. Well, I teach private singing. That's a thing that I do. If you want to...
You want to sing very privately.
If you want to sing privately, you are welcome to feel feelings. No upcoming jams at all. I usually do improv most Sunday nights at Instant Theater at Havana. So that's a place you can watch me do improv. But maybe I announce most of my stuff. Oh, I'm going to Toronto. I'm going to be doing a Periscope in Toronto.
Cool.
Most likely on July, I think it's 11th.
Cool beans.
I'll be there.
We will alert
just doing a
our
one-off.
Toronto people.
That would be really awesome. Yeah.
Oh.
All the details, and then I'll be doing stand-up around town in the next few months. So MeganPhillips.com.
Great.
No H.
No H.
No H.
There is no H in this, Megan.
The H
is for hostility.
Can go fuck itself. Megan's with H's. I'm sure you're delightly human beings, and I'm glad you exist, but your H can go fuck itself.
But basically, you can go to hell. Have a great week, everybody.
Thank you. Thank you.